Hey gang, I'm here to tell you about Stitcher. Stitcher Smart Radio, on-demand news, talk, and more for your mobile phone or pad. Stitcher brings radio and podcast listeners a better way to listen to their favorite shows and helps them discover new content by delivering personalized audio streams on demand right to your smartphone or pad. How Did I Get Here, along with 30,000 other shows, is on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, any of the pads. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone or pad. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Now let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. I hope that you guys all are making it through the week okay, getting into the new year okay. It's been a crazy news week. If you deal with the news, it was raining. Well, it was like golden showers of crazy information. That's what it was like. Anyway, yeah, crazy week. But now it's time for the weekend. It's time for you to let loose, get out and do your thing. If you're a musician, you're probably on your way to your gig. Good luck. I have a great show for you guys today. Pop artist Sky Strickler is here. He's released his debut EP, DNA. He just released it. You can find him at skystrickler.com. He's a fantastic artist. I met him a couple months ago at the Austin Music Foundation, then subsequently ran into him a few times at places and at Austin Music Foundation, kind of hanging out there, and ended up talking to him a few times. I really enjoy him as a person. He's a great guy with fantastic energy, very sweet dude. And he's got a lot of energy, and he's got a lot of creativity, man. Like, he is a great songwriter. He started collaborating with this producer in Guadalajara, Mexico, and they were the guys that put together this DNA EP, and it's absolutely fantastic. The songs are great. The performances are great. The production's great. It's a great, great, great EP, and a great way to come out for my dear friend, Sky Strickler. We ended up going, at the beginning of this conversation, you'll hear us talking about a guy playing at 6:30, and that was Nakia, and then we ended up meeting it up at Seaboys and hanging out and having a cocktail and watching our pal Nakia slay some blues there. I had a great time. Ran into my lawyer, Wofford Denius. Great seeing him there. Getting to see my friend Eric Jarvis, the great musician, producer. He was there. A lot of dudes. All the guys in Nakia's band. Great to see Mac McNabb playing guitar. Great to see Kevin Lance, my friend, the drummer from Nakia's band. A great time last night. We had a great time. And it was great to see Sky. He's a really nice guy. I think you guys are going to really enjoy our conversation. He comes from rural Kansas. He was involved in musical theater, which you can imagine is probably not the easiest sort of thing to do in rural Kansas. You know what I mean? So he made his way to Austin and finally ended up collaborating with this producer guy in Guadalajara. And they did this EP, DNA, which is absolutely fantastic. Get to skystrickler.com and pick it up. All right? Also, a quick note, tonight, Friday, February 13th, Skyrocket will be playing in Dripping Springs, Texas at the Mercer Street Dance Hall. If you live in the Hill Country or you're a person that lives in Wimberley or Dripping Springs, come on out. It's a good time. It's a great show. It's a great place. They have a great full bar, lots of room to dance, big dance floor. It's a real dancing place. In fact, they have like a two-stepping lessons there. A guy with like a headset mic, a very odd cowboy guy teaching people how to two-step there before we play. Doesn't really make a lot of sense because there's not a lot of two-stepping happening in ABBA songs. Anyway, so yeah, come on out. Skyrocket playing there on tonight, Friday, February 13th, Mercer Street Dance Hall, Dripping Springs, Texas. Come on out. We have the night off tomorrow. I'm going to go see some music. I can't remember who it was that I thought I was going to go see, but I am going to go see them. It was great seeing Nakia this week, and it was great running into Sky there. Sky Strickler, what a great songwriter, great artist. Pick up his debut EP, DNA, out now. Go to skystrickler.com for all of your Sky Strickler needs, all right? Thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you enjoy it. I'll talk to you on the other side of my conversation with this very talented young man from rural Kansas. Check it out. My friend, Sky Strickler. Let's get down.
Baby, we could dance all night in the rain. I'm talking about under a cup in a beat insane. Wind keeps chasing you back through the storm as we dance the night away.
phone, just tell me where you wanna go. I could take you all around the world tonight. I got your ticket, baby. Give your hand to me, and I'll make sure it's the ride of your life.
How am I doing you?
See?
Are you driving? Are you Ubering?
I'm gonna not Uber, but fare, because I'm gonna have some cocktails.
Okay, cool. I should go home and change.
17.
I can't show up like this.
I'm gonna have 17. I think it's free.
Oh,
it's like a happy hour show.
You know, I've never been there except for Tamika's birthday party upstairs.
I like it upstairs.
It is. It's cool, but I haven't actually seen like the venue. I just hear people talk about how it's a great venue for like classy artists.
Are you a classy artist? That's not the place where you would play. That's
no,
your
it's
audience
not the same,
is
it's
not there.
The same kind of place.
They wouldn't have a good time.
I don't know. There are like many places in Austin I would play.
Yeah, how is that to be a like a pop-oriented guy? Because that's what kind of artist you are in a town that is not friendly towards pop artists.
Are we on? Are we on right now?
Yeah.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun. I came down here so that I could... don't call me. I came down here because I wanted to experience all sorts of different styles of music. When I was in high school, I started writing a musical. I got really into it. And then I stopped because I was like, I don't want to do that. So then I tried to write rock. I wrote classical. And I still have some of those things and I still do them on the side. But I was in the middle of Kansas and rural America and I didn't know what I wanted to do. Not only could I not experience my artistry or try and develop an artistry, but I didn't really have the opportunity to be around people where I could develop myself.
Right.
So I wanted to go to a city where there was a lot of live music and people were just artists and I could be around people who were confident with themselves and also did music.
Right.
So I moved down to Austin and I kind of discovered that. In the last year, I've been here almost 5 years, has been the most prolific of it, I guess. Am I close enough to the mic?
Yeah, you're close enough. Okay. I'm having some noise that you're not hearing. And
oh, okay.
I think it's coming from this cable.
Do I need headphones or something?
No.
Okay, cool.
No, just relax. Relax, be free.
Okay.
So congratulations, you just released your debut EP.
Thank you.
It's called DNA. It's out now. People can find it on iTunes, on Spotify. You don't have a website?
I do, skystrickler.com.
Okay,
yeah.
I couldn't find it. It's not linked to any of your things.
You know what? But it links to everything else. That's the magic right there. Yeah, I haven't put it up because it only just got revamped.
Okay.
It got hacked.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. And I was trying to get the host and my domain people like to like get help and get it saved.
Yeah.
Like the old WordPress site is what it is. And I kind of got it rebooted. And then 2 hours later, the entire thing was down and there was nothing anybody could do. Like there was somebody actively hacking it.
Stop. Sorry.
I had to fix this.
Yeah. Actually, I don't want to push anything else.
I'm sorry to the listeners for that crackling shit in the last couple minutes. I'm sorry to you, Sky Strickler, who are way too dignified of an artist to have to deal with the shortcomings of a man's shit-ass studio.
You're too dignified to have to spend extra time before I get here. Just take it all while we're doing it.
Tell me about your producer. Like did you guys meet and you wrote these songs?
Is this okay right here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so what happened, I actually made a demo. I was working with a local producer here. I was working with a local producer here in Austin, and we got a lot of stuff done, and it was my first time ever working what I would consider professionally with somebody. Having a goal to be like, I want to make an album, I want to make a record, I want to put it out and do shows with what I create here. And it was fun, I learned a lot. I wouldn't say I wasted money, but it was a learning experience in a lot of different ways. But I only ended up with one song that I used later. I took a demo of Dance the Night Away, which I had written on the top line, and I actually posted it online on a website. And I said, hey, I'm looking for a producer to, you know, maybe bring this into the 21st century. And the producer I work with now, was the first one out of like 150 people that gave a cover letter and they gave examples of different beats and different styles and what they would do here and all this.
He's the only guy that had his shit together.
Well, yeah. Honestly, he came in under like, he didn't give me as much information as everybody else did, but his work spoke for itself. And so I was like, He's too good to be true. Like, there's no way that this guy is real. He's stealing somebody else's tracks, putting it on his website, and now he's like, give me all your money, you know?
Right. So what do you give him, like a piano vocal demo? You play piano and guitar?
For Dance the Night Away was the demo I got, and that was the first one we did together. And before we even finished that, I was like, dude, I love you. Let's get married on music, and let's keep working on the rest. So we ended up working on the rest of the EP
together. What's his name?
Ofo Barher. B-A-R-H-E-R.
Ofo Barher?
Mm-hmm. And he's from Guadalajara. Yeah. And so Barher is actually a combination of his two last names. Barragan Hernandez.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but he didn't tell me I'm not allowed to. So, yeah. So, I don't know how exactly it's supposed to be said in English, but that's how I say it. So he hasn't corrected me yet.
Right.
So we got Dance the Night Away done, and then we had already started working on the next song. So with this EP, what I did was I wrote all the top lines and the most of the original chords, and I was like, this is my idea.
Right.
And then we just go back and forth so well. It's like a really happy marriage.
Didn't you tell me before that he's in Mexico? He's like actually there?
Yes. He's actually...
Have you guys ever met or hung out?
We have. We met in San Francisco. He went out for a family thing. I think he just wanted to see his family. And I was like, hey, welcome to the States. I want to see you in person. So we went out there. And it was the first time I had been in San Francisco. And we had a great time. We actually, we got it really well arranged while we were out there. Because we were just starting to get our communicative process established.
Right.
So that we were efficient and productive without wasting each other's time. Because we both do other stuff besides just this. And while we were out there, we were really able to hammer in, hey, this is what I meant. This is what I was doing. This is what I was trying to say. And the fact that we could communicate in person, we were able to be like, oh, okay, cool. So that's how you want me to say that. This explains it better, you know,
because
we were at that point, we were trying to be extra helpful to each other.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So then you finished it and you put it out.
Yes.
And now what happens? People got to listen to this podcast and go to it and get it. It's on Spotify,
download
iTunes.
I'm aiming for like 500 downloads in one day.
Oh, that's good.
No. The next step is...
I mean, I saw pictures of you performing live somewhere. With like a band, and you had a big keyboard in front of you.
Lucky Lounge, is that it? Here in Austin, I had a residency there for like 6 months.
How was
that? I had a band.
Did that help you kind of iron out some stuff or work out some songs, or what did you get? What did you get out of that?
I learned a lot. I learned that
dude, there's people listening to the show.
Are they listening? I don't
know. Not right now, but they will be. They will be when it comes out.
I'm just trying to think of like, because I learned a lot from the experience. I'm trying to like dial it down to like the biggest thing. You know, the band and I continued working together for a while after that. Very talented musicians who are playing in a lot of other bands. And I realized that, you know, I'm doing Sky Strickler. I'm doing me. I'm writing music and I'm making it the way I want it. And I'm very fortunate that I have the time and the ability to do that. But I shouldn't try to be dragging along other musicians who have other aspirations for something that I'm trying to create, you know, from my own mind.
And I don't see you recreating your EP with like two guitars, bass and drums. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at the Lucky Lounge. It's not going to come across the way that it does with these beats and
yeah, no, you're
the
music, right.
The way it's orchestrated.
And I've had that thought in my mind since day one, but I told myself with this album, I don't want to have any expectation of how artists in Austin perform. Like, for example, a really talented artist, Tamika Jones.
Yeah.
She always has a band, and she only does shows if she can pay her musicians.
Yeah.
And I have so much respect for that. I'm not there. And also, I wouldn't be able to afford a band to be able to just put on the five tracks that are on the EP because it's a big, one song is a big band. The next one has a heavy sax solo.
Yeah.
The next one is just like really heavy, groovy bass and like you need two drummers. And then, I don't know, there's some talented drummers.
Are you going to try and pull it off live or are you going to be like a studio guy? Because you're handsome. You could get out there and, you know. Sell some records just with those cute faces.
I want to focus on making music. that was the focus of the EP. It was kind of like, hey, here's what I like to do. These are the kinds of things. Every song was a challenge. Because there are some artists and musicians who you go to an hour and a half show, and the entire time you're engaged. And you're like, damn, that was good.
I had a show. I just went to a show like that, like a month ago. Gary Clark Jr. by himself at the Paramount. Hour and a half. Didn't fidget in my seat. Didn't look at my watch, didn't go pee, didn't go get another drink, just chilled.
Very good example of that. But then there are, and he's a really good live performer.
Even sitting on a stool.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I guess I just don't see myself that way. I see myself as, if I did every song that sounded kind of like Dance the Night Away, or that kind of sounded like Where Did You Go, I think people would lose interest. And so I sat back and said, I don't want to try and put on a live show. I want to just make music that I hope people connect with, because it's as much me as it can be. And I want to challenge myself in the process and make every song as different, so that I can spread my wings and try and learn new things as I go along.
Are you making videos? Are you making a video?
At some point I'd like to.
Seems like that would be a good promotional tool for it.
Yeah. I got to figure out, now that the EP's out, I got to figure out which songs people gravitate toward most, and then I think that's when I'll decide to do a video. People are really gravitating toward College and Where Did You Go, which I was not expecting people to like College. It was really cool. I'm glad people like it.
Yeah,
it's fun, and it features another local artist, Lucien Payne, and I was really excited throughout this whole process to work with a lot of local people, because that's what I wanted to do. You know, I want to do some like marketing things with local businesses here. I want to feature as many local people as I can. Because if it weren't for the community of Austin and just the warmth and welcomeness of the music community, I wouldn't have discovered myself to put this out, you know?
Let's figure this out, man. Because I'm trying to figure out how a guy that's in musical theater is like living in rural Kansas. I mean, that just sounds like, you know how they were to him in Footloose? Did you see Footloose?
Yeah.
They were mean to him in Footloose. Yeah. And that was like, I'm pretty sure it was a Kansas-like area.
Yeah.
Like where you probably lived. And they hated him just because he wore a gray shirt and wanted to dance when he was angry. Well, which a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But
the dance moves definitely helped.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But like what's the town that you come from?
Iola.
Iola.
Iola, Kansas.
And that is how many people are there?
There were, like, I want to say 6,200 when I left. Now it's down to about 5,000.
Okay.
what happened? Well, we had a big, huge Haldex. Well, not yet. I don't think it's left Texas.
Sounds
and
like
Florida.
The plague.
We had a couple big, huge factories, and a couple of them closed. Actually, I was a member at the Methodist Church for a long time. We had three or four Methodist churches in a city of only 6,000 people. And for the first time in the city history, they're all combining into one mega church, which they're all beautiful. Like, they have gold on the ceilings, and it's ridiculous. But
were those factories, were they thriving when you were growing up? And it was a place that had prosperity, or did it have like that sad Live Aid, or not Live Aid, Farm Aid? You know what I mean? Like, when they...
It was prospering in a lot of different ways, and it still does prosper. But
it wasn't like a John Cougar Mellencamp song or like a Bruce Springsteen song.
No. I mean, it could be in certain places, but I think I was kind of out of the industrial side. I didn't see it a lot.
You don't seem like you've seen the industrial side.
Well, I grew up in a farm.
Right.
So I saw a lot of that. Like, I drove around a tractor and I would sing not Mariah Carey. Well, that too, but Carrie Underwood, a lot of country stuff. And that's when I was like, if I can sing along and I enjoy singing, I don't want to do country.
So your family had a farm?
Yeah.
What do they farm?
A lot of stuff. My granddad actually co-founded the Mid-America Dairymen Association, which turned into... I don't want to say it, it'd be wrong. It was like the National Dairy
Whatever,
Board
like
of
milk?
Research and Promotions, which put on the tax of milk, to then establish a marketing co-op, is the idea. But he served on the board for, I want to say, 27 years.
Wow.
So it was a really big family thing. So my dad did the agriculture, and one of my uncles did the dairy with the Pure Holsteins. And then the other one did banking. So they kind of had this family enterprise going on. And it was great to be around. And it taught me a lot of things that I wouldn't have learned growing up in a city. But I was thankful that I had the opportunity to get out and go to a city and surround myself with music that wasn't country.
There just seems to be like this. I'm trying to get to the point. There must have been some kind of struggle because you had to have been like, "Hey, son, we want you to work on the farm this summer." But Dad, we're doing Oklahoma at the community.
Well, you know, we actually had a really well managed community theater. We had a beautiful. It's called the Thomas H. Bolus Cultural Arts Center. Which was, the acoustics were designed by the same guy who did the Kennedy Center. And they had a huge trust fund that was set up so that it was always managed, and they put on community shows, they brought in bigger acts.
Were you in those?
So I was in a lot of the community shows.
What shows? Like, you remember?
I played Troy Bolton in High School Musical.
Okay.
We did All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten.
What was that?
It was...
Oh, that's a book.
Yeah,
this is all modern stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, "Hey, were you in Oklahoma?"
Well, we didn't do Oklahoma. We did really modern stuff. You're right.
But, no South Pacific? No.
No. We didn't have... I mean, it's still a small town. Yeah. So we couldn't get it. We couldn't get everything big because we didn't have enough people. But my junior year, there were people my age and people who were just about to graduate. There were enough of us to be able to pull off a big production like High School Musical. And we sold out. It was so much fun. We hadn't sold out in a while. We had always, you know, drawn in a good crowd, but I think it seats like 700. I think they opened the balcony for that one.
So you're riding around on a tractor singing Carrie Underwood songs, and yeah. You're like, "Wow, I can sing."
Yes. And
so what, you have brothers and sisters?
I have one older sister.
Okay.
Who is in labor today.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Sabrina.
Sabrina.
Yeah. Hi, Sabrina.
Yeah. Sabrina. And what, you know what the baby's going to be named?
Clara. Yeah. And I have a little over 2-year-old nephew, James.
Are they in Kansas?
They're in Dallas. Yes.
So you guys got out of there.
Yes, we did. And we all left about the same time, like 6 years ago.
Let's go back. You discover you have a voice. Your sister, what was she listening to? How much older than you? Was she living there? And she was like, "Hey, listen to this. This is awesome."
After high school, she left. She stayed in Kansas for a little bit. She went to KU and other schools in Kansas, but she went and did her own thing and is now, you know, really successful climbing the ladder. And I'm so proud of her. If it weren't for her determination and hard work and what she's doing, I would not have learned to be so dedicated to my craft.
Are they still on the farm?
Yeah, well,
like, "Hey, man, we need you to get back on the farm."
My dad is still on the farm. And so I get to go back and I get to see him. And I always get a taste of the alfalfa in the air whenever I get homesick.
Yeah.
And that's home for me, you know. We moved to another house when I went to high school. But yeah, I went to college and...
Oh, wait. So were you doing musical theater in high school, right? You were?
Yes. In high school? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing the community theater and the school theater.
Okay.
Yeah, both. Yeah.
And so you were you was it one of those things where people were like, "Well, hey, man, all these other guys are okay, but you got a thing." Because you have like a showbiz personality.
Oh.
I mean, you totally do. Yeah, you do.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're not like a brooding really songwriter supportive. Like a Bruce Springsteen or something. You're like a fucking...
Like the guy who's like wanting to get into the biz.
No,
of
like
the show.
No, like a I don't know. I think they're cool. They're people. I'm show business people.
Okay.
I have like a hey, you know.
If the conversation,
I gave myself a talk show.
Yeah.
My God, I'm totally that kind of person.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I don't think that's bad.
There was a one person in the community who really made an impact on me and was always very supportive. And
that's
was like,
what I'm looking for.
Yeah, you should move forward. You should do this. I see you, you know. And he was one that, was like, "Let's do, you know, this musical. I think this would benefit everybody involved, and I really want to see you succeed, and I think this will challenge you." That guy was Richard Spencer. And he was always a mentor to me growing up. And it was very much in the capacity of community theater, where we could do different kinds of musicals and plays. And I was always most comfortable singing versus acting. And, you know, he would be like, "Do a play, you know, let's do this and just focus on that. Yeah. So he would challenge me, and he would bring things in and be like, "You know, you know, he would ask if I was comfortable, and he did that for everybody. But I felt like, whether he actually was or not, I felt like he was really trying to help me succeed by opening my eyes mm-hmm. to the world that was existed outside of Viola. And I'm actually going to see him in a month when my mother is in Vegas. So I'm excited.
I'm going to Vegas in a month.
Where are you going?
With that band, Bodine's. I'm going to Vegas.
Wait, when?
February 8th.
We'll be there at the end of February.
Oh. Oh, well.
Maybe next time.
You'd be fun to hang out with in Vegas. Do you go there?
I've never been before.
Do you go to crazy parties?
You know, I used to. I worked at a bar for the first 2.5 years when I moved here to Austin. And I'm glad that I spent my first 2 years after being 21, like turning of legal age, behind the bar. Because I made friends and I got to drink. But I also made money while I was doing it. So I...
Yeah, you weren't like some guy like, Mom, I'm wasted.
I just got an accident. You know, I had the bar that separated me from, you know, somebody putting something in my drink and taking advantage of the situation. You know, like, and that can happen to anybody. It can happen to men. It can happen to women. Anybody, you know. So I'm really glad that there was that extra barrier for me to get comfortable.
A few years ago, a friend of mine got roofied at a gig I played.
Really?
Houston, yeah. At a weird place that had like a frat vibe to it. And she had come with some friends. And we play, in Skyrocket, we play a couple different sets. And so one of the set breaks, I'm there talking to her right before the last set. She's totally normal. And when I come off stage after the last set, like she can't stand up. And like, they're like, fuck, she can't talk. She's like, what? Like, I mean, gone. We're like, fuck, what's up? She was like, her friends were like, I don't know what she did. This is really weird.
It just hits.
The next day, she was like, man, I was standing there 1 second. And she's like, I feel it from the inside. Like, I can't even feel my legs. And then, like, she woke up the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. And you don't, and it's so instantaneous. That happened at least once while I was working. And I'm really appreciative.
I don't know what the fuck they hammer up there.
I think they want to join us.
No.
I think they're knocking.
There's something they work on that requires that to happen once a day.
It sounded kind of like a woodpecker. It was really fast and consistent.
Maybe the guy's masturbating. Oh. And he just gets to like this fucking groove at the end where it's real fast and he just starts hitting his weenie against a table
and then it's done. At least it's not. I think that's to our advantage that it doesn't take forever.
Sorry.
No.
Let's get back to
So yeah, I mean, you just got to be careful no matter who you're with. Take friends.
Yeah, where you are. Yeah.
I'm very fortunate that I do know a lot of the people when I go down to a lot of the bars.
It really happens to dudes?
Yeah. It can happen anywhere. I mean, it depends what bar you're at and what the crowd is and the scene is. Because,
well, it's obviously
like,
a
if you're
a little woman who's by herself.
Dudes
are the only ones that are drugging. Because if a woman drugs a guy, there's nothing in it for her.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So this guy's passed out and like, why did I drug him?
Yeah, exactly.
But if a guy drugs, so the guys are just predators.
Well, no,
there are guys that are predators.
Men can be predators, yes, but that doesn't mean that they're only targeting women.
No.
So I think it's important for everybody to exercise caution. I think one of the best things that you can do, no matter where you're at, and no matter who you're with, because I mean, you and I could be best friends. We've known each other for 10 years and we go to your show and I'm hanging out in between the sets, you know, we're talking, but if I have my drink 2 feet behind me. Somebody I don't know who doesn't even know me, but is like, I want to drug that guy. You know, they can slip something in there while you and I are looking at a picture from something. Like it can happen so quick.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Fuck, man, that's cool to be that young.
I feel cool, dude. I feel like 12 years old.
I'm twice as old as you. Exactly.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jeez, you have like beautiful skin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I enjoyed 24. That was a good time.
24, you know, I got a warning from my grandma. I don't know if she even remembers this, but it was several years ago before I left Kansas, and she was explaining a story about a famous writer who was on a train at the beginning of the last century, and the train had a wreck and caught on fire, and he ran inside to grab his notebook. He was a really well-known writer, and I can't remember if he died or if he lived, but he was burned or something like that. And she's like, I don't want you to be so dedicated to your work that you throw everything else away and harm yourself for your artistry. And that's always
but
stuck
grandma,
with me.
That's the only way it comes out good.
Exactly, exactly. And so I mean I'm 24 now, and I had a lot of fun when I first moved here, and you know, I made a lot of great friends, and then I really turned around and started to try and be prolific with my writing and discover who I was and try and put something like the DNA together.
And there is only one, I mean, the you don't see it until you start realizing like, "Oh, I can't go back there."
Yeah.
That's what people were saying to me, like, man, live it up, dude.
Yeah.
You're only young once. And you're like, fuck you, dude. I'm fucking, you know what I mean? But then you get to, I hate to say it like this, but then you get to my age, you look at your age, you're like, oh, yeah, man, that's pretty good. That's fucking, you don't hurt. Like, your shoulder doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You're fucking, you know
what
I mean?
You can survive hangovers a lot easier.
Yeah.
I just had my first hangover, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah. And your jizz can fly across the room. You know what I mean? You could put an eye out. You got to look out when you're masturbating to not give yourself a blinky.
You got to hold on tight. You got to.
it's like riding a bucking Bronco. When you get to my age, you're like, oh man, I don't think there's even porn that can make this thing. That's
a
not
technique.
True.
You learn techniques.
Let me just tell you guys and ladies, mostly ladies, I'm rocking the world. So whatever joke I just said was just self-deprecating. I'm speaking directly to my audience right now. My audience of sad women that were just like, he can't even get it up.
You watched this.
I'm going to stop listening to this show.
It's going
to
be your most downloaded podcast ever. Just right there. It's going to be in clips and GIFs. It's going to happen.
I like that.
Yeah. We'll make it happen.
We'll be
like Ryan Reynolds with the Deadpool teaser. We'll leak it ourselves.
So let me ask you this. And this is a serious question.
Okay.
So you're there, you're in the rural Kansas, you're doing the theater. What, before you chose Austin, there had to have been like some, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Like, were people, did people understand you? Because you seem, I mean, like I am weird in a certain context.
Yes.
Where you put me in a room with a bunch of bankers and lawyers, and I seem like a fucking idiot.
I feel like a fucking idiot.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're kind of like, oh, and most of those people are like tough guys. And like, you know, here's this guy that's like, hey, I'm in musical theater. I'm doing High School Musical.
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds like you're going to get your ass kicked. I mean, luckily, you're pretty big.
Well, I mean, there was bullying that did happen. It existed. But I like to, there's a lot of things I want to say back to that.
Well, it's what makes us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't get a Kurt Cobain without a kid that got his ass kicked all through junior high.
I don't regret being bullied.
Right, me neither.
Because it affected me in a way that moved me forward and helped me learn from those situations and how to avoid them and also how to be a stronger individual and how to think better of myself.
Right.
And to know my worth and to know that I can do anything I set my mind to, whether that, you know, is getting away from those kinds of negative situations or creating a positive attitude about the things that I can control. And you can control so much more.
It's like
than
the serenity
really,
prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know it.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and to change the things that I can and the wisdom to know the difference.
Is that it? That's beautiful.
That's the whole thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my family was and still is very supportive.
Okay.
I remember my dad, when I left, the farm, we were at the end of the drive, and he said, I wish there was something more that I could do to support you. I don't know anybody in this industry. I don't know anybody you can even call to have a conversation with. He goes, but I 100% support you doing you. He's like, go get him. And then I left. And
you know what my dad said? You better not ask me for any money, because I'm not giving you shit.
That happens. That happens a lot. Yeah. And you know, money is a very real struggle with musicians. You see it a lot here in Austin.
There's a GoFundMe, and I feel bad about it. I mean, I'm not saying that someone gets sick and someone gets in a car accident, someone loses. You know what I mean? There is a lot of that goes on. You do see it a lot because we're in a part of a community where people don't have a safety net, really.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's scary.
It's a scary thing. Yeah.
But there's so many of us, we wouldn't do it if it wasn't what we had to do. You know,
to me, it's no scarier than having a farm, man.
Well,
like, you have a bad winter.
At least
or
you
a
have
bad
insurance
spring,
as a farmer, you know, and you're required by law to have insurance.
Right, right.
So if you have a bad year, at least you can make it through to the next year or two. And you know, nature is cyclical. But as a musician, you know, I say one wrong thing, or I do a song and I put it out and it just sounds terrible. And everybody's like, it's not about everything that you've done. It's about the latest thing that you've done.
Yeah, you're only as good as your latest show. You're only as good as your latest song. You're only as good as your latest record. Yeah. Your latest EP, DNA, is fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, and all the songs on there are good. Okay, so what made you choose... wait, so you're like, I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah.
These guys are supportive. This isn't where a guy like me can make things happen.
Yeah. And you know what? There were so many supportive people that were like, yeah, get out of here. Go do something. And I do have to thank my father for a lot, but specifically, he was like, I don't think it's the best option to go straight to LA or New York. Cause I was like, that's where you have to go to make it. And we had that conversation, I looked at like Seattle or Nashville or mm-hmm. Austin. And my sister at the time had just moved to Dallas, so I visited her. And then I came down to Austin for like 3 days and stayed in Airbnb before it was illegal and they like evict you from your house because of it. And I had a great time. And I remember I wasn't old enough to go into any of the bars, but I walked along Dirty Sixth. And I listened to all the live music, and there were like 6 places on a Wednesday afternoon, like 3 o'clock, that had live music. And I'm like, I have to be here. You know, I went back, I quit my job, I left everything, and I said, I'm moving. And I moved in with a server that I had met on Sixth Street, and I was like, I have to get down here and do this, you know. So it was a journey, and it was scary, but it didn't seem like a choice. It didn't seem like, well, I could stay here in, you know, rural Kansas and keep trying to write music, or I can go down to Austin and make music, or what about LA? You know, maybe I'll make some calls. It was like, I'm going to Austin. This is what is happening. And nobody tried to stop me. So they were just like, go do it. Like, you don't need to be here. You need to be somewhere where...
How do they like the album, the family?
Well, there's a lot going on right now. My sister is in labor today, and we've been keeping up with that. And it's only been a week. I mean, they've been supportive. They've listened to it the entire time.
Wait, it's only been a week since she's been in labor, but since your album came out.
Well, no, she went in labor today. Yeah. but since it's been out. So, I mean, we've talked about it, but I think it was... it wasn't like a celebratory... We didn't have a party that's like, here it is. Because, I mean, if I don't do a lot of live shows, why would I want to do... A release party
to be fun.
I mean, dress, yeah.
Wear some cool clothes.
I hide in the house a lot. I don't know if I have a lot of
Are you an isolator?
I just get music done when I'm in.
Right, right. But I mean, even when there's no music, like, are you like, I'm not gonna go out?
I do like to be around people.
They're all fucking hate me.
Yeah.
Oh, I have that. I have the I hate me thing.
I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
No.
Touch
I have
me.
That.
I have to go out and touch people.
No. I have a thing where I'm sitting here in my house just this weekend, like Friday. I had a whole plan, like all these friends of mine were playing. My gig got canceled because it was so cold. So I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go see these guys at fucking 10. I'm going to go see these guys at 11. I'm going to go see these guys at midnight. It's going to be a whole scene.
And you're like, no, I just want to sit in my pajamas and watch a movie.
Yeah.
Or make music. But
no, I was in my
pajamas. As long as I'm up in pajamas.
I was in my pajamas in that room going like, it's going to be too cold. And plus I smoke. And when I go outside, it's going to be cold. I don't want to wear this big hat. I don't want to wear that jacket. And I don't look good. Who wants to go out in a parka? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's kind of stupid. And then the next day, I felt bad for not going. And then I was going to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then it's like Monday and you haven't gone anywhere in like 3 days.
Yeah, but then I'm like, it's a Monday. I can't go out and buy alcohol at a bar, which there's nothing wrong with going out on a Monday. But I'm like,
if I opted
to go out with all of my friends on the weekend, I can't go out by myself or try and drag somebody along with me on a Monday. At least wait until like... Thursday, and then be like, everybody come with me, I'll buy us a shot or something. Like that's my mentality. But then I don't go out because I'm like, wait, you know, I need to get more done.
So
that's,
what was your gig like when you came here and you started doing Lucky Lounge? What was that like?
That was fun. I mean
what were you doing, same song? Were you doing cover songs too?
You know, friend of mine actually came through and with his rock band, and they did a show, and they were set up at Lucky Lounge, and that was right when the new owners had transitioned in, and they were like, we need somebody to open for us. And I had my keyboard, and I was able to get there, and I was like, okay, cool, yeah, why the hell not? So I opened up for them, and there were like 40 or 50 people that showed up. I had never done a show in Austin before, and it was amazing to see the turnout that had genuine interest to see me share music. And I did like a 45-minute set maybe of original songs and a couple covers, and it was all on the piano. And then that's when somebody saw me and was like, hey, let's connect you with some musicians and let's get you a band and let's do some stuff. And then that same night, the owners approached me and said, hey, you want to do a residency? And I was like, hell yeah.
Wow.
So I did that for a little bit. I learned a lot from that. I realized that I wanted to spend time isolated and recording versus trying to push out new covers all the time, which it's just not my forte.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a choice you end up making. Like, do I want to be a musician? Like, it's almost like, I don't know if a lot of people see it like this, but in the thing that I do with the Awesome Music Foundation, you know, there are people that are coming in and they're like, I'm trying to make it to the next gig and trying to learn enough songs for the next gig and trying to, and you're like, you're not making a career.
Yeah.
You're living hand to mouth and you're setting yourself up to never leave that. You're not working on your art or bettering your thing. You're just trying to make it to the next gig to make the $50, to make it to the next gig, to make the next $50. And then you're never, like, in some ways, I totally understand. You don't have a job.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have a career.
Yeah.
Because by the time this whole thing's over, you might know 75 Rolling Stones songs, but you didn't really have the time to sit down, you know.
But there are people who can do that and do it very well. I mean, yours would be an example on Skyrocket. Like, it's a cover band. And
yeah,
you guys
that's specifically for that.
Yeah, exactly. But when I was trying to be like, hey, you know, come listen to my music, and right. I'm doing mostly covers, well, it's like, oh, that's not the best way to go about making music.
The thing about Skyrocket is that there's seven people that had original music careers for a long time that they've kind of...
You're like, well, let's do it.
No, let's just do this. We get paid and we still get to play music because another thing.
And if you're good, I mean,
driving
share your
Kansas
talent.
Driving to Kansas City for, you know, $25 is just like, it gets old after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. It's just, you know, once you get to be like you're in your 30s and you're like, fuck, how am I going to make rent? You're like, man, is this how it's going to be the whole time? Is there some way that I can turn my talents and all the hours that I spend in my room, you know, playing an instrument or trying to do something, like, can I turn that into something since mm-hmm. I didn't go, did you drop out of college?
I did. Yeah. I should note for the record, call it, cause the lyric is in college, I didn't go to college, but I pay my bills on time. And you don't need a degree to have fun. And so someone was like before the whole thing came out and they're like, you're lying. You're telling people that you didn't go to college.
Right.
I'm like, well, to me, the idea of going to college is walking away with a degree or something of
college.
Value.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not take any value away other than learning that that's not what I wanted to do. You know, I learned from some very talented professors things that I do utilize today as far as vocal performance and all that. But I didn't walk away with a piece of paper that helps me get a job, you know, while I was trying to figure out who I was as an artist.
Right.
You know, it's a totally different kind of education to walk out into the world and say, how do I make my artistry perceivable? How do I convey who I am in a way in which people might care someday in the future, you know?
Yeah.
And that was kind of the process when I started doing Lucky Lounge and I stopped and I was like, I don't think anybody cares. You know,
a feeling of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why when Skyrocket, you know, people were really coming to those Skyrocket shows and we were still all struggling trying to do our shows. Not that everybody stopped, but it's not the focal point of our lives anymore, which in some ways is very sad and hard to deal with. And in other ways is very liberating because when I go play shows now of my own music, I'm really laid back about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the end of the world. It's just a show. And I feel like that helps me perform better, you know?
Yeah, you're not sitting there thinking, oh my God, I just put out my EP. Do you want to check it out? Do you want to work together on something? You're just like,
well, I mean, I do
check
that.
Out my music.
I do
yeah,
that.
But you, it's not
it,
like
but
the
I'm
end
a little
game.
Bit cool. It's just, I'm cool. I can be a little cooler about it.
Yeah, yeah. And see, I think I'm a little high strung or high maintenance.
Yeah, but also it's your age. When I was 20, I would literally punch people in the face for not playing something the right way.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I mean, I didn't
hardcore,
do it
man.
To many people. I did it once. But still, that's... I know what you mean. I mean, it's your fucking thing. It's like, this is my thing.
And that's why I didn't want to... I'm so thankful to the band members that I worked with for so long because we had rehearsals for the longest time when we didn't have shows. And they... You know, we were friends and we still are. And they... helped me figure out what I needed to do
yeah.
until I was like, I woke up one day and I'm like, why the hell are you wasting your time for me to figure out what I'm trying to do? You know, but I learned a lot and I'm thankful for that.
Do you work now as a job? Do you have a job
that
you
work I'm doing this full time, working on the music. I'm very fortunate that I'm able to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I do writing on the side. I'm writing for other people. I've been doing some shows, which is...
What do you mean, some shows? What shows?
Well, I'm doing the NAMM conference for the songwriting contest. I mean, it doesn't pay, but...
You're doing the NAMM?
Yeah.
This weekend?
Yeah, so NAMM conference, weekend or the 20th.
20th?
Yeah. The 20th at noon at the Anaheim Convention Center at the Nissan Grand Plaza Central Stage.
You know Eric Tesmer?
No.
He's a good guy. Friends with Tamika.
Okay.
And Gary and all those guys.
I might.
He's going there for a thing. I don't know. He's a guitar guy.
Okay. You know? Does he play in her band?
No.
Okay.
No, he's his own guy, Eric Tesmer.
Okay, cool. I'll check him out. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes blues. Tamika. I mean, you like music? You just like all music?
I do. There's, well...
Who do you go see? Like, where do you go? You hang out at the Continental Club?
I used to when I first moved here. Since I've been... on more of a budget, trying to get the EP done.
Yeah,
you make sacrifices when you're trying to put something. It costs a lot more than you would anticipate.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot more out of you than you would anticipate. But it's not something you regret or you don't want to go through.
Right.
You know, it has its highs and its lows, but that's how you keep honest with the writing process. So I go out, and at this point I go out to see, rather than checking out bands, I go out when somebody is like, check this stuff out. And they know somebody in the band.
Yeah.
And they're like, I know that they put on a good show. Like, you'll have fun.
Yeah.
Or I see my friends like Tamika, Ben Sina. And you know who I really want to see? Charlie Faye and the Fayettes.
Yeah.
I listened to your podcast with them, which was pretty recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. A couple months ago.
Yeah,
her husband is the bass player in that band, the Bodines.
Oh,
so I'm going to be with him in Vegas.
Well, I love the track Green Light, and I tweeted at her. Yeah. I'm just now getting into this whole Twitter thing, and apparently there are surveys going around. And everyone's like, "Is it dead? Is Twitter alive?" And I'm like,
"Are you kidding me?"
I'm just tweeting everybody. It's kind of fun. And
I don't know if you realize we elected a guy president that is like can't get off of it.
Well, maybe that's why it'll die. Who knows?
I have a new way of tweeting at him. I started tweeting at him.
Did you
today?
Did you
I tweeted at him.
What did you say? See, I was doing that.
Where's my? I want to say it verbatim.
Oh, it's in here.
No. Don't worry about it. I wanted to say. But basically, he was like, you know, everything is stupid, and the media is stupid, and these people are stupid. And then I wrote, "Is this tweet really the best use of your time right now, bro?" That's
what I wrote. Seriously.
Like that's all. I mean, I don't want to be like, "Hey, you're fucking." I'm just like, "Hey,
what are you doing?
Do you do your homework?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or like, did you even listen to people who do the homework for you?
Yeah, have you done your homework yet, son?
Well, you know...
Before you get on your video games, you need to do the homework.
Yeah, at 3 o'clock in the morning.
We need you to understand how this whole thing works.
You know, and I think... I don't want to get too much into politics, but
no,
I do want to say
it's really
this.
Really obnoxious.
It is. But it's important to stay informed.
It is.
If the minute you think that because you live in Kansas,
right,
your Democratic vote doesn't count, it does.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they take that census information every 10 years, and maybe I'm considering moving to Kansas City for the jazz scene, but I'm like, you know, I like dudes, and I don't think that anybody up there is going to be okay with that because we're all, you know, Republican states.
Well,
don't
that's
like
what I was
going to,
you
know?
Yeah.
So when I see that information, because people are going out and voting and registering or, you know, just affiliating with a party or somebody who's capturing that data, I'm like, oh, you know, there were 50,000 people who didn't think that their vote counted in a million people, but at least I know there's a clique of 50,000 people somewhere more than what did go vote, you know? And so that it helps everywhere, even in Texas. But when I got on Twitter, there's just so much negativity. And I think the negativity springs over the positivity too often.
Yeah, it depends on where you agree. That's the one thing about it. You can kind of choose what you see.
And that's important. But it's if you go so far as to just block everything that comes off negative to you, you're harming yourself more than you're helping yourself.
You won't know what the president's saying.
Exactly.
Did you see this guy last night? The Obama, when he said goodbye?
His farewell address? I went to the website,
man,
after it said it was supposed to start, and then it never started. Or at least the website I was at was delayed. So I watched most of it last night, and then I fell asleep.
He's a good guy.
He is a really good guy, and I'm going to finish the rest of it soon. But I just... So what is it? The man with so much respect
yeah.
and honesty, and it shares truth and hope and right. really affects change. Yeah. I mean, he's done so many good things for this country. It's sad to think that people won't listen to him because he has different political views. There's a difference, I think, in people who don't respect Trump for personal things that he's done to people personally, which come out often in the way that he affects his kind of change,
yeah.
versus somebody who's politically...
I'm going to start using that in describing him. You know how he affects his kind of change? That's the nicest way to put it.
Yeah, I'm trying. But at least, you know, Obama is a stand-up, respectable individual. If you disagree with his politics, you know, that's a conversation to have, and he will help cross the line and say, well, let's have a conversation, let's compromise. Yeah. There's only so much you can do when everybody else doesn't want to compromise with you.
I found out some shit about my family today Miami.
Is somebody else pregnant?
No. No, it has to do, my Aunt Leanne is gay.
Okay.
And she lives in Tampa. And then the rest of my aunts and uncles live in Miami.
Okay.
But they're like in the yard sign Trump people. Red, okay. Make America Great Again hats. And that's their photo on Facebook kind of people. Mm. And she doesn't want to come down and hang with her brothers and sisters because of that divide. And I think that's the weirdest. It's like, man, this is weird. This is like unprecedented. I was talking to a lady the other day at a Skyrocket show. She's like, yeah, I just got divorced. Like, yeah, I'm in the process of getting divorced. I just left my husband like 3 months ago. Getting to the core of it, she didn't leave him because he was a Trump supporter. But there was this time when she kind of saw his colors and she was like, wait, you're that guy? Whoa. This is, okay, I haven't liked you for the last 10 years, but this is the deal breaker, yeah. buddy. And she left him. Yeah, and that's intense, man.
I think we're in America. It's free trade, it's free press, free religion, you know, free speech. And I respect that and I want that to continue. But I think Trump has brought out, in not all of his supporters, but I think in some of the supporters, has brought out more of a personal touch.
Right.
Than a political touch.
And the thing that I feel like is happening too is that people are looking only at the differences, because you could be you could be gay, you could be in show business, you could be a non-Trump person and go and hang out with the most conservative farmer from your town,
yeah.
and go up and be like, man, how are the crops this year? And you'll never, he will like
but
you.
Never
there
care.
Won't be any kind of thing, yeah. because in Skyrocket, during that time, we played this thing that's like supported by, it was originally started by like a Tea Party, like a faction of the Tea Party. But it's this beautiful organization that raises money for wounded veterans. And they raise a lot of money and they help them out. It's pretty awesome. Even though our ideology, they're the people that gave us these cups. Even though our ideology is completely different, when I'd go outside and smoke and be talking to a dude, we never even touched on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey man, you ever see Van Halen? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, like, you're just two dudes that like music.
Yeah.
And, like, saw different shows. I want to hear about the shows you saw. I don't want to hear about how much you hate
something
Mexicans
political.
Coming to America,
yeah.
you know, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. What you choose to talk about can really change the... That's what I think we need to do. 2017, people, let's look at what we have in common.
Yeah, exactly.
And live in the love of the common people.
Focus on the positive. Focus on the ways that you can affect change and really, you know, hold true to your values. And that's something I'm learning to do, and I'm trying to do better every single day. You know, like, for example, on social media, I'm trying to be as honest as I possibly can, and I'm not trying to censor any part of who I am, because, you know, there's this expectation that it's like, well, once you have a... you know, the DNA would be my product to put
right,
out.
Right.
I don't want... People are like, well, you have a brand. You have to make sure you hold up the brand. And it's like, yeah, I don't want to go out with a long-ass beard and be like, this is... come see my show. Because that's not the kind of image I'm putting out there.
Right.
But, you know, if I'm like, I want to sit back, have a tequila shot, and, you know, have a conversation where I cuss, and it's not as clean-cut as my image, that's who I am. It's honest. And nobody cares about... I would like to think that people don't care for someone who's putting out a fake persona, you know? I'm as real as I can possibly be with my music. Why would I want to be any different?
Yeah.
And I think that it's important for people to be as real as they can, but try to be the most positive version of themselves that they can. Because if we stay negative all the time, you can't even open yourself up to compromise, and that doesn't do anybody any good.
You're a good guy, Sky.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, man, I'm glad we met. I've known you now for like a couple of months. I've seen you socially in places where we hung out.
Yeah, it's been fun. I'm glad we finally got to talk. And this was so much fun.
Good.
It was fun. I didn't think we would talk about politics, but I really enjoyed that conversation with you.
Sky, I feel like you really get to learn who the artist is when you talk about outside of like, so what's the weirdest thing that ever happened to you at a gig? You know what I mean? Like when you talk about other shit, like farming. Like, you get to see what kind of person this guy is. Yeah. Like, really.
Carrie Underwood, my inspiration.
Carrie Underwood. the EP is called DNA. It's out now. Go to skystrickler.com. Find him on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Facebook, Twitter even.
Yes.
Instagram.
And Snapchat. It's the only one that's not my name. It's The Only Sky.
The Only Sky.
I snap pretty often.
Was there anything I'm missing?
People can find the show. Oh, the producer and I, we are starting our own group. Can I mention that?
Yeah.
It's called just kidding. It's called Borders, Bordrs with a period at the end.
Yeah.
And we are releasing our first track today.
No way.
Yeah.
So people can find it at skystrickler.com.
It will be up there as soon as it's available. Borders. It's very, very EDM oriented, but the idea is that we can work from different countries, and we can still work together, no matter where we are or who we are. And that was the idea behind the title. And that's the idea behind all the music we're putting out. We're not limiting ourselves to anything. We just do whatever we feel like and be as honest as we can.
Good. Good. Well, get out there and check it out, Borders, and also pick up DNA, Sky Strickler's new debut EP, available, skystrickler.com. Thank you for coming, dude.
Thank you.
First class, you keep it classy, flying through the air every time you travel.
My man, Sky Strickler, what a great dude. I love talking to that dude. He's got great energy. He's a great songwriter. He's a great singer. He's a great artist. Pick up his EP, DNA, out now. Go to skystrickler.com and get involved with him there. And don't forget, when you're out there checking out Sky Strickler stuff on the internet, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher or on TuneIn or on your iPhone podcast app or on anywhere you find podcasts. I think you can find How Did I Get Here? And if not, let me know, and I'll get it up there. All right? And don't forget that you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And be sure that you share this. Like, if you like this podcast with people, share it on social media. Tag us in it, How Did I Get Here? I'm at Johnny Gowdy on Instagram and on Twitter. Okay? Thanks again to Sky Strickler for coming by. Absolutely fantastic dude, and I'm glad that we're friends. Here's some more music from him. Have a great weekend. Let's get down.
Woke up, no snooze alarm. Had my breakfast packed, threw my t-shirt on. Against the grain, I'm starting Monday strong. Side eye and smile back at the debonair curled hair. Stacking paper, I already mowed along. Keep moving on, my belly worthy Oxford's on. Hear me when I'm back, you catch that funky little sway. Chin up, 90 degrees, throw my shoulders back, my knees won't falter either. I ain't out here just for fun. Sister, my whole crew. But like the sunset creeping through the night, I do my best. I can't help what I can see. It's barely there in front of me. Bobby, take off the glasses I got from that thrift shop down the street. Like, sometimes vintage swag or custom cufflinks may be played. Whatever I do, I got my shoe polished to a T. But that's just who I am. Won't let some words make me get my damn an issue. That's fine for me and you.
It's obvious we're worth 1,000 scholarships, but we prefer a bigger stage than a colleges. Won a couple semesters, but I wasn't effective. Every morning rolling up for breakfast. High time flew by, got in with a 3.2 and then left there with a 1.5. I was wide-eyed like an owl at night, on the strip hollering at every dime in sight. Or in the dorm room spitting some behind the mic. Yeah, writing a rhyme, lighting the drove, with the top by the dough, trying to hide that smoke. Put the beat on repeat till I find that flow. Now I got it, nothing to stop it. I got the product, now we popping. They talking like we should probably book them so we can rock it for the footage. Said we probably wouldn't. Next smile in front of the camera while you check out the footage. Like, ah.